Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
That is not Chris.
It's time to get classy, though.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's start it over.
So, obviously, Chris is on vacation this week.
He is.
Where's he at?
He is up in the mountains.
Must be nice.
So, yes.
Must be nice.
Cooler than it is here, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, a billion degrees and 100% humidity.
So, Matt has graciously stepped in. This is Matt's third time on
I
the
think
podcast?
It's my third time on, okay. on Classy Radar. Yeah.
All right.
So. Excited to be here.
Yes. So, and it's a good week to do it.
It is, because we got some big news to talk
yes.
about.
it's like not a lot of whole. I mean, we always are like, not a lot happened this week. And it's like, kind of a lot happened on this week, kind of not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was more like, yes, things happened. Were they new things?
Yeah.
They weren't really new things. Things were happening.
Yes. Stuff progressed, and I feel like an earlier version of this podcast would have been like, and Daniel Bryan revealed this, and that's how they closed out SmackDown. What do you think? And da 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 da. And now it's like, and Daniel Bryan revealed this, and it's like, well, we'll find out.
Right, exactly. And honestly, I think that's what we're going to talk about a lot in this podcast, from what I understand, is that that's how I feel about WWE right now, is that happened, and we'll find out.
Yes.
I'm not left over here going like, oh my God, like I want to discuss it. I've got all these concepts and ideas. I wonder how they're going to take this. It is more of a, okay, that was a thing, and moving forward, we'll find out more.
Right.
I think no you got
okay and I was gonna say I think it comes from a, I mean, and I have probably actually said this almost verbatim on previous episodes of this podcast because it hasn't changed, but it comes from a lack of consistency or coherent storytelling. So when I say, oh, this doppelganger situation has happened, I hypothesize this is what this means. There. I'm not drawing on anything from the past, like, oh, they've done this before, so they'll go through that kind of storyline, or this is how this should work or usually works, because it either will or it won't. The next step in most storylines doesn't seem to result from the previous step in most storylines.
In WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, no. And I think that's because the writers write the next step logically, and then Vince says, nah, and then they scribble it out and do something else.
Right.
Completely.
And so part of it is like, okay, this is headed in some sort of direction to a Roman versus Daniel Bryan.
That's, well, I mean, obviously, that's what they're pushing.
And I'm excited. That's going to be a good match.
Big match. It'll be a ton of fun to watch. I assume Rowan will still be, you know,
yeah,
Daniel's heavy, which, I mean, which he needs now.
Yes.
That, I like that.
And it's the same thing with the Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. Like, okay,
yes,
this is obviously going to be this match.
And
now
it'll be a great match. That'll
match.
Be great.
I'm very
match.
Excited.
Very excited about the match.
I
want to talk about Becky a little bit too.
Okay,
when we get there.
But so I've said before, I'm pretty much in this for life.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to, at the very worst, be familiar with what's happening, who is champion right now. Like even if I'm like, I just my life is in a place where I can't watch
it every week right now.
But
you're gonna listen to a podcast or you're gonna check the recaps,
right,
see the results,
or
sure,
my news feed just in general is cultivated so that if something happens, it will pop up there,
right, like
somebody
as soon as
like,
the title change, like you see it.
Yeah,
right.
So when it says like, oh, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks are gonna, you know, have a feud, I'm like, great, I want to watch that match. So these promos that are basically selling this match, and Becky had a great promo.
Becky cuts really good promos.
She does.
And she's gotten, if you know, she's gotten progressively better.
She's gotten pretty. So she did a really good pre-tape promo, and I, as a general rule, really hate those kind of pre-tape promos, because there's just not a really great way to throw that in-ring intensity at a camera.
Yeah.
Unless
you're a really good actor, and most of them
are not. I'm very aware that they are going to hit stop on the record button, and the emotion that this wrestler is feeling is going to go away.
Right.
And when it's in the ring, it is or it isn't, or it's going to escalate into something. Who knows where it's going to go? When it is pre-taped, it is just a like, okay, yeah, you don't like that person.
Right.
And you'll have a match.
Click, and then we'll go. Right.
And so I'm watching the match either way. Like, they can have garbage build-up. The build-up has already happened. The build-up is Becky being built into the man character that she is.
And Sasha being built into the boss.
Yes.
Right.
And these two separate things happening, you know, over several years from NXT to now. And now that they will clash and collide. So your build-up is over for me,
right,
as a viewer. I get that you are trying to sell this to people who are watching Raw but don't have the network.
Right.
And need to get the network to watch Clash of Champions, where they're going to watch it.
Or come to their friend's house where they have the network to watch Clash of Champions.
That is another option. Or, I guess, potentially sell tickets to the show if you were in the
I'm very iffy on that. I know the ticket sales for the pay-per-views are a big deal, and they need to sell ticket sales, especially because they need the arena to be full.
Yes, they do.
For pay-per-views, it's a necessity. I am so curious as to how much of this marketing is really geared towards that, though. I would wager, mm-hmm, and I don't know for sure, but your average pay-per-view attendance and your audience is about 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they're not selling out like massive stadiums. They're selling out like the Sears Center and places like that that are 10 to 20,000.
They're selling out basketball arenas,
right? Not football arenas,
right?
Which is a huge distinction,
right?
And so my guess is that they get, even outside of the network, there are probably about 10,000 pay-per-view purchases per pay-per-view.
Okay.
Not network purchases, because I talk to people regularly who are still, they are wrestling fans of an age that they are still buying pay-per-views via
pay-per-view.
Yeah, via their cable nothing company.
Okay. Are they purchasing every?
Yes.
Show? That's crazy.
Yes. So it's not, it's only out of a reason that they don't want to sign up for something. They would just rather 6 weeks drop $50 to be able to just go
click, click,
bloop.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many they sell.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that they probably sell around the same number of tickets to the show that they do in pay-per-view purchases.
Okay.
Whether that's, I mean, not counting the network.
Right.
Which is where they really push it.
Right.
I mean, hey, just watch
the network.
Just watch the network. Yeah, it's free.
And I'm sure that, you know, the network nets them $7, where a pay-per-view nets them
$40, or more.
Right.
They had to split it with the cable company.
Right,
they have
to split that with the cable company. Plus, you're much more likely to accidentally get a second month of a network.
Oh, for sure.
Rather than accidentally buy another $60 pay-per-view.
Whoops, just bought it again. I agree. No, the network's genius. However, the network's about to lose a pretty like substantial selling point to it, which is you need the network to watch NXT, and you don't need the network to watch NXT anymore.
So then NXT is also available on Hulu, and it has been available on Hulu.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Interesting, because I always watched it just live through
the network
when it came on.
Yes,
right.
Because I watch almost exclusively on Hulu at this point.
Just because of time.
I still watch NXT on the network. I'm like, why? I can't honestly tell you.
Yeah.
But that because it's a network show, yes, I watch it on the network. No, the Hulu thing is, if you're going to put out a superior product 24 hours later, why would I wait on that? I mean, if they're like, okay, we have this rough cut of Endgame, we're like, you know, it's not done. We still need to do some stuff, but we're going
to
release it a week earlier.
So you can see it.
See it, but we'll have like the polished thing. All the CGI is done. Everything's really like clean and cut and tight. You know, in a week.
I'll just wait a week.
You can watch that.
Yeah.
Like, I have to, you know, like, no spoilers.
Now, granted, you will buy both copies if they're released in DVD format.
Yes, that's true. Because I need to compare.
No, you have to have them, and they got to go in the collection.
Okay, but that's also like in-game. If they were like, this is a weekly show, and we are weekly, on a weekly basis, putting out a better, cleaner, tighter product 24 hours
yeah
after the rough cut, basically, I can wait 24 hours.
Agreed. Yeah.
Plus, yes, occasionally I will get some spoilers of like such and such happens, but usually it's something pops up on my phone that's, OMG, I can't believe that, ..
And then you can just...
Wrestling Observer.
And you can just be like, nope, just not going
to
look at that.
Okay, I don't need to look at that.
Yeah. I get similar things through Wrestling Observer and Wrestling Inc. where I'm like, oh, just not going to...
And occasionally it will be Goldberg Returns at .. I'm like, Goldberg Returned.
Yeah. And
that one was really for me. There...
The thing is, would you have popped crazy big if Goldberg had returned and you've been watching? I mean, is that one that you would have popped really big for?
I will say I would like to be surprised by a CM Punk return.
No kidding.
CM Punk coming out. And if my phone beeps on Tuesday morning when I didn't watch Monday that says CM Punk makes a surprise return to Raw at .. I will be like, gosh, I hate that I missed that.
Right. No, of course. Also, it's not going to be to Raw, buddy. He's going to make an appearance on an AEW show. It's coming. I know. But it's gonna happen.
Well, that's the thing. The odds of that happening are no longer enough to keep me watching every week on Monday.
Right.
Because I used to justify that there is 1 to 2 weeks a year where it was emotional to watch it live, and it was worth watching it on Monday nights every night because there were those 1 to 2 weeks out of the year that you needed to experience it happening in the moment.
Right.
I don't think that happens 1 to 2 weeks a year anymore. I don't 100% know when the last time that happened was.
I've been watching for 2 years, and...
Yeah.
The only time that comes to mind is when the SmackDown women's roster invaded the Raw women's roster and Becky got stuck and stood in the audience just covered in blood, in the universe just covered in blood. That I mean, and that's one where Morgan and I had an emotional connection to Becky.
Right.
So watching that live was very.
No,
special,
and that's a great example.
And
of
that's
something
that's
that
probably
is that.
That's probably the one though, because if you read that later, that's like you know, Becky Lynch takes stiff punch, breaks her nose, walks out through the crowd covered in blood. Like you read it, and you're like, man, I really wanted to see that happen live. Like I wanted to see all of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's like, but that's the thing. 2 years. That's the one that I'm thinking of.
I didn't watch that live, and I experienced that first. Through a picture of Becky covered in blood.
Right.
And so then watching the SmackDown invasion is like, I know this is going to end with Becky covered in blood. It was still very exhilarating to watch. It was a great moment.
Great sequence, yeah.
She had like, the picture I saw was for like her arms open. So I was like, I know that she's fine. I know that she's full in adrenaline character.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, also legitimately had a broken nose.
Yes.
like legit, because Nia Jax is a terrible wrestler. That's just a fact. Let's just go on that for a second. She's not safe, and she's injured multiple people.
That is true.
Sorry.
You
just got to be safe in this game.
Please be safe.
Just be safe.
But yeah, you're right. One thing in 2 years.
That's not a lot.
That's not a lot. And
meanwhile, AEW, because that's where we're headed, because we're going to talk about these two together, specifically AEW and NXT.
Yes.
Because they're setting up for the Wednesday Night Wars. And meanwhile, AEW has done in 3 pay-per-views and some YouTube videos, they've done things to where I'm not going to get to watch All Out live because of a previous engagement I cannot get out of, and I am genuinely frustrated that I can't watch it live because I'm confident there will be moments that I will want to see live.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, for example, if CM Punk's going to come back in the next 2 years, this is the best opportunity.
It's
in Chicago.
Yes.
He already has this great relationship with these guys.
Right.
If it's going to happen, there's a good chance that it happens here. And I will be super frustrated if it does that I am in Greensboro and not here with you guys watching it all flipping out.
Sting came back before you came back, right?
To WWE?
Yeah.
Yes, he came back before I came back. Okay. But I know, see, here's the cool thing about Sting. I know who he is, not because of him being a wrestler, but because after he left wrestling initially and became a Christian, my mom became a big fan of, not of him as a wrestler. No, not of the same wrestler, but she really loved the fact that he loved the Lord now. And it was very similar with Bret Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Different person. With Shawn Michaels, who had a very similar thing where, you know, I'm not sure where his soul is now. He's back to WWE. Who knows?
Okay, but, well, my big question is, have you as a family watched Sting the actor in his movies between his wrestling?
No, we have not.
Yes, you should watch that, where Sting has to, you know, play in some Christian films.
I'm sure they are delightful, as all Christian films are. Pinnacles of cinematic
brilliance. So Sting came back, and Sting came back on a pay-per-view. He came back on Survivor Series, or he debuted because it was his WWE debut.
Oh, because he was coming from
TNA.
TNA, right.
Yes.
Right.
And so we knew that he was showing up. We had known it for like 6 months that he had a contract, he would be showing up at some point. Prior to Mania, obviously, because he'd have a match at Mania.
Right. If you're going to sign someone that big.
I think that was the last biggest, purest, I am glad I am experiencing this emotion as it is happening in real life hundreds of miles away.
Yeah.
It is the kind of thing that is akin to why you watch the Super Bowl live when your team plays.
Or why you watch every Duke Carolina game live.
Exactly. Why I can't, if I couldn't watch it, I would block those out and try and watch them later. But even so, it would not be the same as watching it.
Well, correct. No, like if I, like it, not for the other games, like if I'm going to miss an ACC game, a Duke ACC game, I will do the I'm not going to be home for 3 hours. I can start running at home. I can media blackout for 3 hours. Not because, I mean, even if I think it's going to be a blowout, not because I'm worried that I'm not going to like I won't get to see the win or loss or that it'll affect it at all, but because if something does happen, I want to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I also don't want to know that the final score was 98-63, because then when there's 10 minutes left to go and, you know, it's 85-40. Like, I'm not. Well, I know exactly how these next 10 minutes are going to go. There's going to be hype, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I'm totally with you. Wrestling just has this ability to where you can black it out, or you can do a media blackout.
Mm-hmm.
It is harder to do because it's a massive chunk.
Yes, and it straddles this line of, you know, of where it is a storytelling, you know, entertainment venue and a sports, you know, proxy thing. And so it's like...
It's sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment, yes, obviously. So I will watch something that I've already watched in wrestling. I will watch a match start to finish. Sometimes, I haven't done it in a long time, but sometimes a pay-per-view from start to finish to get the experience and the arc. I've never watched a game start to finish after I've watched a game. I've like gone back and watched highlights.
Yeah.
Usually to show somebody else, like, "Hey, look at this."
The only game I have the only basketball game that I've watched, watch 100% of the game after I've already seen it was I watched the championship game, the Final Four game, and the championship game from the 2001 season.
Okay.
But I watched those like a couple of years ago. So it wasn't like I was like immediately like, I want to relive this. Or even
right.
Like, it was more like I was 10 when this happened. I remember watching the games, but I would like to go back and kind of...
Watch it with an adult perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And be able to experience
it
that way.
I'm better at watching basketball now than I was.
Right, well, right.
Basically.
Like, I appreciate what happened in these games more than I did then.
Mm-hmm. And I can see... stuff not around the ball that's still important.
Well, right. And as a 10-year-old, I didn't know that. All I know is that we were winning and that, you know, we were down by a lot and we came back. You know, those are the things that I was able to comprehend. And so you know, going back and watching him as an adult, it's really fun. And then there's a shot that I watch as a Duke fan. There's two shots that you watch a lot. You know one of them. That's the Christian Lander shot, the one that everyone hates.
Yes.
Except for us. and then there's another shot that didn't go in that everyone hates, and it was us, which is in the championship game in 2010, where Gordon Hayward heaved a half court shot up that hit the backboard and the rim. It really should have gone in and didn't. And so, you know, I watch those. And every time I watch that shot, I still get nervous. Every time the ball is up in the air, I'm like, don't go in.
Yeah.
I forgot that this was 9 years ago.
Yeah,
And it already hasn't gone in.
I'll get that. And I will. But I will get. I can get that a lot more with wrestling.
Yeah.
Where, like, I will. Have you. I don't know if I've made you watch. There's a series of Undertaker matches when he was still undefeated at WrestleMania where he faced Shawn Michaels twice, then he faced Triple H twice. So, like, a series of four matches over 4 years that kind of tell this overarching story.
I haven't seen that the series, yeah.
There are 2.5 count pinfalls in there that I will feel like are 3 counts. Like, watching it now, I'm like, ah! Cause
like, even you knowing that it's not a 3 count.
Right, exactly.
That's awesome.
So there are those occasions. It also helps, like, I know Undertaker's going to win, so, like, Shawn will kick out or Triple H will kick out, and because I don't have the match memorized move for move.
You like, don't remember. Is that when it happens?
It's like, I know Shawn's not going to kick out at some point. And so like,
is this when he doesn't kick
so
out?
So I'm like, oh, this is it, and it's 1.5 kick out. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Like, perfect kick out. Well, I'll tell you what, man, is there anyone better in wrestling ever at Triple H than perfecting the 2.5 kick out?
Oh, Triple that
or
is...
Two and three quarters, or yes. two and eight ninths. Yes. I mean, the dude is like, I swear I have watched it to where the referee's hand is on the mat. He just hasn't made the noise
yet. Pushed
yet. Right, like it's on. He's just made the noise, and that shoulder flips. So it's impressive.
Triple H, his calling card, and people have cited this, like talking on like Triple H documentaries, like he has the best 2.5 count. Like him, Stone Cold had a really good one, but I think Triple H might have the best 2.5 count.
And the thing that makes his and Stone Cold's I've watched look realistic or be so good is they look realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that man has passed out, he is exhausted, and that it is literally taking him the full 2 seconds to just process. I need to like get my shoulder out, and most of the 2 counts or 2.5 counts are not that.
Right. So I think what it comes down to, and Stone Cold, I think, has talked about this on his podcast, is when he's on the mat, he's not watching the ref. Like you're on the mat, you're looking at the ref, you see them hit twice, and then you kick out when their hand is coming down. And he kicks out basically on the offbeat. So it's like beat is your 3 count.
Right.
And so he kicks out before the beat is complete. And part of that is trusting the ref to have a consistent 1-2-3, which the ref should have. If you're a ref at a WWE match, you should have a consistent 1-2-3.
Especially that those wrestlers are aware of. They're like, hey, this is going to be the...
This is my rhythm of my 1-2-3 pattern.
Now, and there definitely are certain ones where it's clear that a match has ended, mm-hmm. right? To where it's like, you know, it's been a 30-minute or an hour-long Extreme Rules match. They're, you know, blood everywhere.
Yeah.
The ref, like, crawls out from under the ring and is administering the slowest
1-2-3
count ever. And even though sometimes there'll be a kick out, and you're like, how in the world?
The ref's 3 count has slowed down because the ref is too tired to make
like,
a 3 count.
Like, the ref can't get to 3, and so the wrestler gets to kick out, yeah. But yeah, like this is your podcast. It's not what I want to talk about. It's crazy. But like I had a question that I want to ask you, and I don't know if we even know the answer to this.
Okay.
I assume you saw that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins got engaged.
Yes.
Kayfabe or real?
I believe it's real.
Real. Okay. And the only reason I say it is because the official WWE. Site has pushed it a lot.
Right.
They pushed it more than like they pushed Rowan and I forget who he married. He married one of the
Yeah.
So he married somebody. Sarah. The third member of the Riot Squad that isn't Liv or Ruby.
Yep, Sarah Logan.
Sarah Logan. Thank you. That's who you married. Yeah.
I was like, you had to give me so much information.
Sorry, but I mean, I got Sarah.
Yeah, you did.
But they talked about it. They certainly didn't push it. Obviously, they weren't two top tier champions.
Aren't Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins.
Right. They aren't the two biggest things in the company currently.
I believe if it was a purely kayfabe thing. Now, people who are dating in real life getting kayfabe engaged
all the time
in a story. No, I'm saying like that's a really like I don't know. Obviously, there is like some weird like pushing lines. What is real? What is fake? And when you are living that life, like I don't envy these wrestlers who are playing characters that are themselves.
Yeah.
And that can be a weird blurry line. There's things like John Cena proposed. Were you here to remember that? So John Cena proposed at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Obviously, that was very planned. He would make this proposal at WrestleMania after having defeated this other tag team. And I don't know what's going on in their personal lives. Like, was that the actual proposal?
Honestly, did she know?
I assume that she would know. I assume they're also looking at the, you know, schedule, and it's like, hey, our match is scheduled for 10 minutes, and then there's this, like, 10-minute block that is also scheduled after our match. Like, what's going on there? Obviously, it has to be the proposal.
Right.
I also feel like if you're putting on your biggest show of the year, biggest show in the industry, you don't want to, in this day and age, surprise anybody with anything.
Anyone, no matter how famous they are.
No matter how famous they are, no matter how sure you are something is happening, like, imagine if Nikki didn't know and she's like, we need to talk about this backstage.
which, knowing what we know now, they probably should have.
They
probably should have stepped backstage and had a conversation.
I am assuming that Nikki knew she was going to be proposed to at WrestleMania.
Yes.
But that means that they have had this conversation before. So, like, in their relationship, when do they consider themselves engaged? Like,
and part of me hopes that this thing with Seth and Becky is real, and that WWE was aware that it, hey, guys, we're getting engaged. We would like to make it part of the story.
Yep.
Because I really would hope that if they went to Vince and were like, hey, like, we're fine if you reference that we're dating. We really do not want the focal point of our storyline to be our new
relationship.
Marriage. Right.
Yeah.
I know Vince is an ass, so I don't. He may say, you guys got to do it. Actually, you guys need to sleep together on stage or in the ring, you know. But I would hope that if
your Vince is a little Nixon-y.
They're both crooks. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a Trump supporter. I'm confident the other one would have been too. I just like the way he speaks his mind.
Yeah, like it's not a crazy jump.
No. No, it's not. No, it's not. I think Nixon would be more like, wait a minute. I had to resign? Like,
finish your point.
Seriously? Sorry.
Finish your Vince point.
I'm sorry. I'm not political. But like I would hope that Vince would, like, if they came to him and said, like, hey, like, we do not want our relationship to be the focal point. We are strong enough top tier talent to where it's not needed. I would hope that that's something that is discussed in creative.
I think that it is. I also feel like it is the kind of thing where it's like, no, of course not, of course not. Okay, but we should put you guys in a tag team already. We're doing this mixed gender thing. We'll make it about your relationship. You know,
you're
already in there. It's like, okay, fine. And I feel like there is this.
There's
like,
incremental, like,
yes, death by 1,000 paper cuts kind of thing to that, where
I could see that. Yep. To where Vince like, well, what if we just tried this next?
Yeah, and somebody like pitched, you know, Seth Rollins as the man's man. And it's like, oh, that means two things. It's like, all right, I know you don't want your relationship thing, but like, we got to call you the man's man. Like, it looks great. And it's like, and then they'll pitch it as like, oh, we're, you know, we're really building up Becky because we're not saying like Becky is Seth's, you know, girlfriend. We're saying that, you know, we're you're Becky. We're really building up Becky. You want a women's revolution, right? Come
right.
on, you want to be part of this.
Exactly.
So death by 1,000 paper cuts.
And that's, I mean, that may very well be what it was. But that's why I asked, because today WWE posted a lot of pictures on the official stuff of the two of them. Congratulations, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And as fans of both of them, as wrestlers and as performers, I genuinely hope this is something real and not something that WWE is pushing.
I also, we found out that they were dating fairly recently.
Oh, like within the last 3 months.
Yes. So I would assume that they had been dating for a good while to that. Somebody posted something about it, and then the other one Twitter's like, oh, we can talk about this now?
Right.
In some sort of jokey tweet.
Which I assume means at least a few months.
Yes, but implied that this was not a new thing for them. The biggest thing that kind of like worries me is it's a soap opera, and marriages and relationships in soap operas break up through betrayal.
Yep. And I don't like that because I like both of them very much.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is the great way for, I mean, one of them turning on the other one will make them an automatic top tier heel. And so,
Instantaneously, especially imagine the heat on Seth if Seth turned heel and then did something. We're back into this Attitude Era thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you picture the shenanigans of Seth turning heel and then hitting Becky?
I mean, putting a curb stomp on Becky would be
on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, domestic abuse. I mean, there's so many things that go there. However, I could totally see Vince being like, "That's what we're doing."
Yeah, I mean, and you pair him up, or I mean, you can do it either way. You pair them up with another opposite gendered wrestler,
yeah,
and that wrestler's heat is I've broken up this it couple,
right?
Which feels like a genuine it couple. Like, this thing is like John Cena and Nikki never felt like the it couple. Part of that was just the divas or women's at the time.
It was a joke, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was yes, she was the Bella Twins were a top tier diva, you know, thing. But top-tier divas was still below C-tier, you know,
right,
men superstars. And so
this back then, Mojo was getting pop.
Yeah.
Like the Bellas were. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mojo wasn't there, but like that kind of performer
yes.
was getting that right.
Yes, exactly. So this, we are the two top, you know, talents in our respective rosters didn't mean anything like it does now. Didn't mean,
and it does mean something now. That I think it's cool.
Yeah. So
yeah.
But as we're running out of time, and we obviously need to spend some time.
We've covered nothing.
Focus. Well, the biggest thing of the week is that we have officially announced NXT is going to be
yes.
on Wednesdays, directly competing with AEW's show,
which we don't have a name for yet. Which I think may just end up being AEW.
It might be. I don't know. I feel like they're going to give it something. Raw, SmackDown, Nitro. That's going to have some sort of like power name.
Yeah.
Although NXT is just being called NXT.
Right. Well, however, and this is just true. Anytime the letter X is in anything, it just sounds cooler.
Mm-hmm.
XFL.
Oh yeah. Also, the XFL team logos were announced this week.
Do we want to cover this real quick? Because this is going to be real quick, because some of those names are dumb.
I will say, because somebody...
Dumb.
One of my friends sent me a link that's like, thought you might be interested in this. And I was like, okay, there's not a North Carolina team.
Not
so, like, I'm not inherently... I don't automatically have to cheer for somebody. So, I'll have to decide who to cheer for. And it's like, well, here's the logos. I'm like, well, that helps me decide who not to cheer for.
Because none of those
no
are
thank
good.
You, no thank you, no thank you.
Yeah, it was. I watched the you know logo release thing,
and I
got to the one in DC, which was entertaining. First off, they pitched the DC one for
what was it, the Defenders?
Yes, the Defenders.
DC
and
Defenders.
And they pitched it as finally football in the nation's capital. I'm like, dude, there literally is a team, a team from Washington DC. And they've been around for... They've won Super Bowls,
yes.
Vince. Like you know this.
They tried
to buy them.
They are arguably the most talked about team.
Yes, they are. But, I mean, it's like, over the history, it's been them and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Also, a fun fact, this is completely off topic, and we'll take just a second, but as a fan of that team, I grew up in Washington, D.C. I've been a fan of that team for years, and... This year, I've had some really wonderful conversations with friends of mine that are Native American, and really tried to come to a understanding on where they fall on that name, mm-hmm. and exactly, you know, where they take issue and why, and trying to understand. And after several conversations, I've decided, I mean, I'm not going to cease being a fan of the team. I don't know if there's anything inherently wrong with the team. The owner is a complete jerk.
It's like there's one thing inherently wrong.
Yeah, it's Dan Snyder, and he's terrible. But I'm not going to reference them by their team name because I after having these conversations, I understand that it's a slur, and I don't want to be associated with that.
Right.
Even if the vast majority of the United States doesn't think it's a slur. Anyway, all that to be said. Defenders is a better name
saying is you can now cheer for the Defenders.
I can, right? Yes, finally.
So
but having the two shows, so Vince or Hunter has done one of them has done something brilliant because their best product, they're going to put up against this new product.
It is their best product, that you can throw as like argument and opinion and whatever.
Damn.
But I think
okay,
but I think it is pretty, objective that their product that is the most similar to AEW and the product that is most likely to fight for the same set of eyeballs is going up against AEW.
Correct.
Like Raw just is going for a different audience than AEW is.
Oh, dude, if you had put AEW on Tuesday, mm-hmm. with SmackDown, yes, you would have lost some viewership, but like you just said, the viewership that's tuning in to AEW are the people that are watching NXT. Because that's what they care about. They want that kind of wrestling.
It's the kind of thing to compare about putting your cop show against another cop show or against a medical show.
Exactly. Like, it's spot on.
Yeah, I mean, they're still one-hour dramas.
Yep.
They're still basic procedurals.
And they all often take place in virtually the same areas.
Right. But in this particular case, they're putting their cop show against they're putting their cop show against a cop show instead of against a medical show.
Exactly. I think it was Nick Jackson who tweeted out. I mean, as soon as they announced it, he just tweeted out and said, "We're not scared."
No.
And honestly, I think I think that they are. I really think AEW has the upper hand here. And it's only because they are new, mm-hmm. and they don't bring the baggage. Because even if you love NXT, and I think you and I would agree, of the three brands, we like NXT the best.
Yes.
It's because Triple H runs it, and he clearly knows what he's doing.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, I don't want to
cut
into your thought, but part of that is just the narrative. And this is the general online wrestling community narrative, which is the group that AEW and NXT are kind of looking for. The narrative is, I'm very excited about AEW. I love NXT. And now they're going to ruin it trying to compete with AEW. Vince is going to ruin it by getting too involved into it. The two-hour, extension from 1 hour is going to ruin it. The live aspect is one of which, that if there's one thing that doesn't ruin it, it's the live aspect.
Live aspect, are you kidding me? That's why takeovers are insanely amazing, yes. Because they have a lot.
I
don't buy that one at all.
But the general consensus is not, I'm excited for NXT to be moving to television, is I am worried that this move is going to kill my favorite WWE product.
Okay, so I am, you and I have talked about this. I came into wrestling fairly new. I, in my very short time, have really harnessed into AEW, and it's, mm-hmm. because we talked maybe on the last podcast, I can enjoy this from the start.
Right.
Right. So I can be involved from the ground level.
You still get, and there is always this appeal with wrestling. It actually struck me, I don't even remember who it was. It was on NXT this week, promoting a match for next week. It was the two big guys, Lee and Devonajic.
Yeah.
I think. And talking about, they've had like one match in NXT, but it was so much footage from a lot of their independent stuff and a lot of time, yeah. that they'd met on the independents. And I was watching that, and it struck me, comparing that to AEW, even though AEW's brand new, they're three shows old.
Yes. And some like YouTube segments. Yes. That's literally what they've done.
But there is history if you want it.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho has a long history. Kenny Omega has a long history.
The Bucks.
Cody Rhodes, Bucks. They all have long history.
Lucha Bros. All, yeah.
You can find all this if you want to go in feeling like you're a longtime fan. Or if you want to, like you, feel like you're starting from the beginning, which you are.
Yeah.
No reasonable fans would be like, no, you're not. I mean, there's obviously a, like, well, you didn't watch Wrestle Kingdom where they first met, and you're like, you're not a real AEW fan, because you can always do that with wrestling, because there's
always more wrestling.
Well, there is no beginning unless you go back to 1920s and like watch every single, you know, recorded match
from all the 50 promotions that were around, right?
Yes.
So, and that's why I'm excited about AEW, and I'm coming at it with the benefit of your years of knowledge, Chris's years of knowledge, other friends' years of knowledge, and the internet. Mm-hmm. So I can do things like I can watch Jericho Omega from Wrestle Kingdom. I can watch those matches and understand some of the history. But when it comes to AEW, I'm getting to pick them up there as a completely fresh thing. So like guys like Sammy Guevara, who has been wrestling for AAA for a few years, mm-hmm. and from what I understand, in AAA has done some pretty good work. He held a title. I'm getting to be introduced to him for the first time new.
Yeah, and we're sitting in this really nice best of both worlds situation right now, where we are getting these matches that, even if they've happened before, feel like first-time matches.
Yes.
We've even goes to, like, Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks have faced each other a lot.
Yeah.
They've even faced each other on AEW products.
Right.
But now to be like, and now they're going to do a ladder match, it's like, oh, that's the first time. It's not the first time it's happened, but it feels like the first time it's happened. But at the same time, it feels like it has the weight of a bunch of history building up towards it.
Even though it's the first time on AEW. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So we are getting to experience the joy of getting to see first time evers while also getting to see really important monumental landmark matches that we have been theoretically waiting for.
With the best tag team in the world.
Lucha Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Lucha Brothers. Get out.
Really? You doing Young Bucks?
Dude, I love the Bucks, man. Really? You saying Lucha Brothers?
I'm serious.
Like,
Lucha
Brothers.
Yeah, I'm serious.
No, dude, I have been more entertained by the Young Bucks than any other tag team.
I will say it was, what was just happened? Fight for the Fallen?
Yes.
Where they had the match.
Was it Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest?
I don't remember which one their match was. I think it was Fight for the Fall.
Because one of them was Dustin and Cody versus the Bucks, and one of them was Lucha versus. Either way.
Yes, it was Lucha versus the Bucks. It was that match happening, and watching that match was this like turn of like, I think I'm enjoying Lucha Brothers more than the Bucks.
Interesting.
And that just really kind of turned it, and just kind of watching a little bit of something, I was like, I think that's what I'm really excited.
I can rewatch it.
I've not soured on the Bucks. I'm not like, well, now they're just the passe guys. But yeah, I think
they're also the vice presidents of the company. So they better not be passe. Like that's away. Right. they're going to be there. They're going to be booked pretty well over the next few years.
I would suggest.
I think Tony Khan's going to give them a little bit of leeway. So I'm running up on time. I have to get home, as you know.
As yes.
But I do. I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
So 3 years out, mm-hmm. NXT and AEW.
Yes.
They're going to debut in October.
So NXT is debuting 2 weeks early in September.
Okay.
So they have two shows to
build,
establish an audience, quote unquote.
Whatever. In 2 years.
Uh huh.
Do you see both of those shows still being on their networks on competing nights? Actually, you know what? Let's go a year. In 1 year, are they on after their initial contract, they each have from what I understand, there's a year contract for the time slot.
Right.
So after a year, one of those changing time slots, or do you think there is enough to keep them both there?
So obviously, we're calling this Wednesday Night Wars.
Yeah, hands anything, down. Are you kidding me?
Before anything's happened.
Yeah, it's easy.
So
W&W, baby.
Yeah. A big part of the Monday Night Wars was very much a having to choose aspect. You had your preference and you'd try and flip during commercials, or you would tape the other one while you watched one, which wasn't necessarily a guaranteed thing in the 90s. You might only have one TV in your house.
Right. You know? So you picked one.
Real possibility. You were picking one. Ratings were a very important thing. Ratings are still a very important thing to television channels in a way that they are not to us anymore.
And to Vince. No, yes, but they're important to Vince.
They're important to Vince.
Because Vince likes the numbers.
Yes.
I'm sure he gets the, like, well, total streams and clicks, and I'm sure he gets that. Well, but what he sees is the next day when those numbers roll out.
I definitely think that you can easily, like, oh, yeah, whatever, we have this much streaming. Like, the thing where they talk about, like, WWE has more social media followers than da-da-da-da-da combined.
They literally say anything. Well, they're talking about all their network subscribers, all their Twitter followers, all their, I mean, everything.
Right. And they're talking about WWE has a Twitter, WWE Network has a Twitter, WWE Creative has a Twitter, WWE Corporate has it.
Yeah.
So there's 8 Twitter things that...
They're all followed by one, like, one person follows all 8, but they're going to get counted as 8. Right, yeah.
Yes. So
that's just brilliant marketing, man.
Yeah,
that's just good marketing.
It's how you get to point out that, like, you know, stat.
Exactly.
So they will be able to talk about, like, NXT viewership outranks AEW viewership by whatever. I don't think they need to beat AEW in the numbers, in the ratings numbers.
No, they need to beat AEW in the fan numbers.
Yes, and. I think a lot of what this comes down to is on Monday when you are watching Raw and a commercial comes on that says this Wednesday on NXT, XYZ happens. What is going to make you say, I need to watch that
live
on Wednesday on USA?
Live.
Because right now, I don't have a way to watch AEW on Thursdays. Now I might.
You will.
It might be on Hulu. It'll be somewhere.
It'll be on Bleacher Report Live. That's their. That's where they've been doing stuff.
But have they officially said you can, for free, essentially watch?
Is it a TNT product?
It's a TNT product.
You'll be able to watch on the TNT app as long as you have a subscription to, like, as long as you have a cable subscription.
Yes.
Right. So you'll be able to watch it after.
Okay.
But I mean,
I assume that we will. Right now, I don't know what that is. I know how I'm going to watch NXT. I watch NXT on Thursday fairly regularly right now. I can slot AEW into my, you know, wrestling schedule without really messing up my NXT watching schedule.
Right.
To force me to do that, they will either have to, A, take NXT off of the network, which they might have to anyway. I don't know. I mean,
I think they will. I would guess based purely on the way that Raw and SmackDown work.
I say Raw and SmackDown,
they get a month, right?
Yes, and that is to do with some contract with USA,
right? I would guess that they NXT would want a similar. That. Well, but, I mean, they would want because they would want a similar deal to where if you're buying the product, you don't want people to have another option,
right?
And the majority of people. Given the option, oh, I already have the network. Well, why not just watch it on the network on my phone or wherever?
So they are going to have to, and this goes back to what we talked about watching, having to watch it live, for that, and it comes down to I watch television differently now. Wrestling, just television in general. I had time 6-7 years ago in my life. To block off and be like, I watch wrestling. I watch it from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock or 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock or whatever slot it was, and I do it every Monday because twice a year, it's worth it.
Right.
And I'm going to watch – and those things, like, I'm going to watch it anyway. I'm going to watch it Monday or I'm going to watch it the next day on Tuesday, but I make sure I watch it on Monday because twice a year,
something
it big. Has to be Monday.
Right.
That just – and maybe if I was that age at that time frame, I could still do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I can't compare that. The fact is, right now in 2019, I don't live a life, and wrestling doesn't present a product in a way that makes me think I have to watch it live.
Right.
And that is the biggest hurdle. I mean, August 2nd. First, mm-hmm. I'm watching AEW.
First night.
Like,
first oh,
night.
Hands down.
That's oh, also. Well,
first of all, I mean, there's going to be a title defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fun.
Well, like, in all fairness, that's probably going to be NXT's biggest night. Like, they're probably going to have something pretty big the first week.
I'm sure they'll something push like crazy that third
the second week. That third week is probably going to be insane.
Yeah.
But
we will tune in live to watch
AEW
because yeah. that's and because when at least for me and this is, you know you got years here for me I'm excited about AEW like mm-hmm. I love NXT. NXT is the most fun thing there is to watch.
Yeah.
I'm excited for AEW, so on that night I'm going to tune in and from that night on I'm going to check the shows and say hey like what am I
yeah.
like if I'm going to tune into something
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is for USA, NXT does not have to beat AEW. NXT has to beat Suits or Royal Pains or whatever they were going to put on there.
On Wednesday night at 9 or at
yeah,
8?
Yeah. yeah. That's what USA cares about. As right. long as they're beating, as long as USA doesn't think they could safely match the numbers on a new gamble, then they're fine with, even if AEW's making 5 times the numbers, whatever, USA is compared it to what else they would
right,
be putting on.
Right, I mean, if they put on Suits, they weren't going to take those numbers from TNT. Right.
Right. So we'll see. All right, you ready to wrap up?
I think we got to, man.
All right, as always, you can follow. Do you have anything to plug before?
Nothing in particular. I would love it if everybody would follow me on social media. I would talk about it every time I'm on here, but you can follow me on every platform at Arrow of Akatosh.
Spell Akatosh for the people.
I will indeed. It's AKATOSH, Arrow of Akatosh. You can follow me on all the social media accounts. Keep up with what I'm doing, both artistic-wise and otherwise.
All right. And as always, for okay, all the classic ring tires, here we go. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate. It's going to be weird on Wednesdays.
It's got to wait. Tell you what, so it's going to be Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and appropriate Saturdays and Sundays.
And, yeah, Saturdays.
Oh,
not,
my gosh.
Yeah.
That's just, you know what? We'll
no,
just.
Not Tuesdays because in October, SmackDown's moving to Fridays.
That's right. So, oh, gosh. So
Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays,
and appropriate Saturdays and Sundays.
Yes.
We'll tweet every day except for
Tuesdays and Thursdays. Unless, if 205 Live stays on Tuesdays.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, I hope not.
6 days a
right,
week.
All
right, man.
So we're also on
Where
Gmail.
Do you follow you, sir? Yeah.
I am at Joel Gleo, J-O-E-L-G-L-E-O. We are also at classyringattire at gmail.com. You can email us comments, questions.
Yep, yep.
We're also on iTunes. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
You know it is.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris, who's not here like a slacker. Easy way to follow myself. Easy way to follow Arab Akatosh guest star Matt. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.